Rancor Pit Tamer, Dragon Rider, or Care for Magical Creatures Teacher? Which potentially very dangerous mythical animal involving career would you choose to go into?
Dragon Rider. Absolutely Dragon Rider. Give me dragons. There be dragons.
To be specific, just so we're clear, I'm specifically thinking like How to Train Your Dragon, Dragon Rider. That's the universe.
Do you want me to shout even more emphatically into this microphone?
I'm just making sure.
Are you saying that I can have a toothless, Kyle? Are you are saying that I can have a toothless? Can toothless be my dragon cat?
Yeah, I guess. If you can catch one.
I need not be any more explicit than this. Imagine the wild, like, wide-eyed, happy enthusiasm of every child that loves animals. Go by about 10, and that's how much I love animals. And then add in the lizard equivalent of a cat that can fly and do battle damage. This is the perfect scenario for me. Also, I love How to Train Your Dragon with a passion that not many people can understand. So I adore Toothless.
It is a pretty glorious movie.
That is a very, very, very easy choice for me. Ashley is sitting here just like shaking her head.
I was going to say Dragon Rider, but I don't think I can carry the mantle with as much enthusiasm as Alan can.
Right? Now anything
just,
we
like,
say
like everything
would just
pales in comparison.
Hollow.
Yeah. No, my initial reaction was to go Care of Magical Creatures Teacher, but I don't have to deal with the waivers.
That's a good point.
Like, there's too much liability involved. If it was just me doing like an online class, perfect.
So Hagrid behind
Hogwarts
glass.
Hogwarts may have adapted in light of COVID also, so it might be possible.
Herbology? No. Now we're cooking with gas, but
until you get to Mandrake Week, but
well, yeah. But I can sport some earmuffs. Heck, I'm wearing Bose right now. I'll be fine. Sponsored by Bose. Not really. Joking. Sorry. Maybe cut that.
Nope. Leaving it in. You're a corporate shill now.
No! My reputation!
Brought to you by Mandrags R Us.
Gosh, what was the first one?
Rancor Pit Tamer.
Ooh, see, that's
so Star
EA.
Wars.
Like, if
yeah,
I could actually
like,
truly
cool.
tame one, that would be awesome. I don't know if I have the disposition for it, but I think it would cause me less anxiety than having to be responsible for the care of other people's well-being.
That's fair. I feel like that's something that you could handle. Like, I feel like it's very clear, like, so this one's kind of near and dear to my heart, specifically because there is actually a story in the expanded universe that, so there's a book, they did a series of these, and it's Tales from Jabba's Palace. So it just has a bunch of short stories from, like, different characters in Jabba's Palace, and
that's
one
awesome.
Of them is about the guy who tamed, who, like, was responsible for taking care of Jabba's Rancor, and I think... I want to say his name was Mauna Kea, but I can't remember for sure off the top of my head. I'd have to look back at the book, but it like the his whole story is he's just one of those types of characters who you're just like, dude, you're like weird, but also in kind of an adorable sort of way because you like grew up with this Rancor and you've taken care of it your whole life. And so it was actually devastating when Luke killed it. Like it was just a horrible moment for him.
No, yeah. I think that would make an excellent monologue.
Right?
You killed giant space kitty! No! Well, I wonder about that, too. Like, if you do spend all that time with it, if it, like, at least grows to tolerate you because you're familiar, and so you kind of just, like, play up the conflict a bit, you know, snap a whip away from it just to make noise and seem big and large, but really you're just like, we're buds.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda I kind of love that.
Kind of like big cat wranglers in zoos.
Yeah.
Like. You see, or like even people who do that in like the safaris and things to where you'll just watch and the giant cat will just run in and tackle it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the clip of an unfriendly animal starts stalking them, and like the cat that knows him attacks the other one, and it's just like, no, I can do that. You can't do that.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to become Joe Exotic of space, but I like do want to just bond with one singular animal and then just like ham it up a bit.
That's fair. See, I can actually see you in that role. Like, okay. I feel like it would actually be a really good fit, especially based on what I remember from that story, because it's just funny and kind of adorable and quirky and weird.
Yeah. Like, if we were only doing hippogriffs, sweet. Like, just don't be a dumb ass and we're good.
Right.
Like, have basic decency and respect. Solid. Right. I'm not going to start breeding things to become other really horrible things. I'm not going to create blast-ended scroots. Nifflers could be fun and funny. But
Nifflers
also, like,
are great.
But like the cleanup afterwards, exhausting.
Yes. The perpetual chasing it around.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of care that I'm like, I feel like you kind of have to have the personality of a horse person to be a care of magical creatures teacher.
Mm.
Whereas, like, Ranker Tamer, that's more about the performance than it is about anything else that I can handle.
That's fair. Well, I think I'm actually going to go with Care for Magical Creatures just because I've already dealt with the liability of dealing with children. And
I thought
like...
you were going to say, I've already dealt with rankers. Old news.
I mean, that too.
I spent 5 years taming tiny animals. What's bigger animals?
Yeah, I like the idea getting to hang out with cool, weird, magical creatures and maybe being a little more responsible about it than Hagrid was, you know, but at the same time, the thing about liability with the wizarding world is like they let children fly around on broomsticks and then kind of don't care that like these balls are specifically designed to beat the crap out of them.
To shatter
them
bones.
Off their broomsticks
and
have them fall
fair.
Like five stories.
That's totally fair. But I think that's exactly why I'd make a terrible witch in the Harry Potter world, because I would be anxious about the lack of structure involved. Like, I'm happy to like maybe wander around a castle, get lost, but all of the safety hazards and the like legal holes in everything. Like, how have they not been wizard sued?
Right. I mean, to be fair, Buckbeak sort of was ish.
They were more blackmailed than anything. It wasn't even
that's
really
fair.
Suing.
That's,
it was just kind of
fair.
Like, I've greased some palms. They happen to be the right palms. And now you're fired.
Now you're fired and the bird's going to die.
Yeah. There was no court. No formal court.
Right.
That's fair. It's just, yeah. So I think all that would just make me too anxious. I couldn't deal with it.
That's fair. I still think I'd be game. Because I just get to hang out with
I feel like your past work history has prepared you well for this role.
It's just a slightly different tier of chaos, really, than what I'm used to. So
when you'd get your own hut, possibly.
Right. And I'd have magic, so, like, that would help.
Yeah.
This whole wrangling
you could
the
do,
chaos factor.
You could do a more in-depth research study on werewolves.
Oh.
This is right up your alley.
I am ultra soul. Yep. I'm here. I am here for this.
Yeah,
this
you just be like a research fellow that is, like, teaching classes while you're doing your research.
I can fly you places with my dragon.
Deal.
And I'll pay you exorbitant sums to give me more show animals.
This is great. We've got it all figured out, guys. This is a whole plan.
We just created a magical racket is what we just did. Hello, Mampersands. This is episode 223 of the MinMax podcast. Hope this finds you well. Today, we are taking a quick break from our series on the Creed as we finish the first sentence. We spent 4 or 5 episodes there already. We thought there have been a few things that have come out or are in the process of releasing that we would cover in the geek sphere. And one of them, which we have been doing as a pretty regular basis, is discussing the latest Marvel film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I believe I will go ahead and drop the spoiler horn here.
Danger, spoiler warning.
Now that that is over, we have some opinions. I believe, Kyle, Ashley and I will speak for me. This is in the bottom three of all of the MCU for me. And the longer I sit with it, the less I like it. Ashley, I think you are similarly opinionated.
I have tried to put it out of my mind up until this episode because it truly infuriates me.
Yeah. Kyle, initial thoughts on it. Where did you fall?
So here's my thing. And I learned to do this with the MCU because of Iron Man 3. Because initially when Iron Man 3 came out, I was super disappointed and I was really mad that I was disappointed. But I held on to this hope that maybe over time it would become something that I would like a lot more just based on how the story would evolve around it. Because the MCU is vast and large and complex, right?
Sure.
So I've kind of started adopting a stance of like no single film truly stands in isolation, right? It's all interdependent on what comes before and after and, you know, what it coincides with and things like that. So when it came to then... backtrack for just a second. That came to be true for me for Iron Man 3, and that's why I kind of hold to that theory, because I've come to appreciate Iron Man 3 a lot more, because I think it was actually a really critical expression of Tony's engagement with trauma and how he was responding to his own experiences and stuff, and that became really important character development for him.
Mm-hmm.
So coming to my second majorly disappointing MCU movie, which I know I'm in the minority on because most everybody else loved it, but Thor Ragnarok was really disappointing for me for reasons I've talked about before.
Sure.
And I have continued to hold that one in a little bit of tension because I think Endgame did a little bit to help buy that back, but not nearly enough. And it didn't really rectify the kind of callousness with which they approached the death of Thor's entire planet and all of his closest friends.
Sure.
And so coming to Doctor Strange, I'm really curious about how they're going to start to resolve the multiverse timeline, just because that could make a difference. And my sister and I went to go see it together and we were discussing it after the fact. And the thing that I said is, you know, the multiverse really got broken loose in Loki. And so I feel like that's where it's going to end up getting more of a resolution. And I'm really curious, like, she and I both joked that the best possible way for this movie to have ended would be for the end credits to roll around. And after the end credits, you have Loki and Sylvie just walk in and zap Wanda and Steven and be like, variants, and then just like move on. Right. And just like, so like the whole movie was kind of pointless kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I am willing to give it just a little bit of benefit of the doubt just because I don't know where the MCU is going at this point. That said, taken in isolation, it was awful and I hate it, and it gave me severe anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually almost started having a panic attack in the middle of the movie.
Because you're not a horror movie fan.
No, and if I had known going into it that's what it was, that would have been okay. But, and again, we've dropped the spoiler horn, so if you're still listening, you should really stop. But the thing that really got me and the thing that sticks out is Peggy's death. Like, that was, quite frankly, some bullshit. And I hate that. I hate that for the MCU. I don't want that. I never want to see anything like that in a Marvel movie ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I don't want to see it implied. I don't want to deal with that level of graphic violence. That is not what I come to the MCU for.
Right.
Because other elements, like, I don't hate horror. I don't like modern horror, where it's hyper-sensationalist, it's hyper-graphic, it's... You know, it's all about the blood and guts and gore and jump scares. And I realize not all horror is. Don't get me wrong. But so much of it is. And that's the kind of thing that I really don't like. So The other elements of horror in the movie, I really could have appreciated if it had gone a better direction.
Yeah. Well, before we get too far into later plot points, maybe let's go to the beginning and like just the setup of what did we think the movie was going to focus on? Like, what did you think the plot was going to be before you saw the movie? Because I had a completely different expectation than what we got.
Oh, completely.
I did not expect Wanda to be nearly as involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what I had assumed the movie was going to be is, okay, we're going to deal with Steven's trauma from all of this. He's ultimately the one that made a big decision as to what was meant to be. He's going to be left holding the bag because he's the one that went into his mind palace, for lack of a better phrase.
Right.
To, like, figure out what the options were. And so if there are any disappointments, people are going to look to him, as we saw at Christine's wedding.
Yep.
Right.
You know, was there really literally nothing else? Or are you like bullshitting us? Was right. there something else that you're just not telling us? Which is a fair question for other people who are still working through their trauma of the snap. And so I thought, okay, that's what this movie's going to be about. That's awesome. Like, exploring what other options there could have been, or like what these other realities look like after the snap. Was there something he missed, possibly? Like, is there any possibility he could have missed something? How would he get over that possible shock and shame? Would there be any forgiving himself? And I thought, like, the whole process of him trying to come to terms with things and forgiving himself for something he couldn't possibly know or possibly overlooked or something would result in, like, an actual fight with himself in some way. And that would be, like, the climax would be him actually fighting himself, which would be a metaphor for him actually in, like, with an internal struggle. But instead it ended up being all about Wanda and her stuff. And I was like, I thought we settled most of this.
Right.
Yeah. I think honestly, I expected, because I know we theorized, like, I expected it to be Mephisto or something like that, to where it wasn't actually Steven, because it was such a strange interaction. Yes. I'm very proud. Like, after the other areas of the MCU that we've seen deal with multiverse stuff, with all of the limited series stuff, and then the end of Spider-Man, I thought that's what we were going to be dealing with. Mm-hmm. Like, he very narrowly avoided, like, the universe, like, foreign beings breaking through the barrier and coming into their reality.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed that we were going to deal with whatever little crystal thing you make broke, and now the entire space-time continuum is going to get called into question. Not, we're going to re-examine Wanda's grief and undo everything that we did in WandaVision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously, I get it. Sam Raimi didn't know about WandaVision and was 3/4 of the way or halfway through writing the script when he was handed stuff by Disney and said, oh, by the way, this is happening.
But this is exactly why I don't like Disney touching my... I don't like them playing with my toys. Because they do this all the time.
I think at that point, it would have been...
I get the allure of money. Greed abounds.
My brain is just like, obviously, production costs have already gone into effect, so that, like, it could have been so much better of a script.
Yeah. Where they don't throw Wanda under the bus?
Yeah, where they don't. And again, we don't see the body, so obviously she's still alive somewhere.
Right, but then again, to what end? I'd almost rather she did die, just so we don't have to worry about this becoming a thing again.
Yeah, we saw an energy burst. Is that supposed to depict that Wanda Maximoff broke free of the tiny rubble palace in her own mind that Xavier... We're going to come back to that scene in a bit, because I know Ashley has lots of thoughts and I have thoughts on that particular scene. Yeah, that's what I thought the movie was going to be. Kyle, I'll let you speak here. And then I want to highlight like a few happy points. Let's actually do the things that we enjoyed.
No.
And then let's tear it apart. That's not true because I know there are at least two or three points that you were happy about.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I would generally say I followed the same line of thinking that you guys had as far as how the movie was going to play out. I expected there to be consequences from Spider-Man that Steven was going to have to deal with, and I figured it was going to follow the same vein that all of the other MCU stuff has done post-Endgame, which is, hey, all the superheroes need to go to therapy now. This is how they're dealing with it, right? Like, 'cause that's all they've done, and it's been amazing. It's been so good. Like, real consequences, and they have to face up to their actions. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I really love what you were talking about, Ashley, where he would have had to, like, deal with all of the possible other outcomes, the other ways that he could have resolved that situation and how it would have played out. And then, you know, something about the spell from Spider-Man was still rampant and he had to, like, face physical manifestations of those other universes.
Which would have made America necessary then, because then she would have to, like, they'd have to actually work together to resolve that while also kind of, like, delving into her mystery. But
yeah, exactly. And I think I will say, and I know we talked about this a little bit off air previously, but I did kind of like the way they started with Wanda, like at the beginning of the movie. I liked that idea that she hadn't gotten past it quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
That she was a little bit drawn in by the allure of the Darkhold. Like, that was interesting to me. So when at first it was like, I'm, you know, like, nope, I'm still kind of hell bent on this idea of I have children and I need to be with them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They took it like way, way, way too far. Like, I honestly expected the first half of the movie, I was like, okay, I'm on board. I'm getting into this. And then about the time that they met Xavier, I expected the whole, like, X-Men thing to kind of come to light where Xavier would tell her, like, in my universe, your father is a mutant and you're a mutant and you kind of walked a weird line at times. And you know, like, is that really who you want to be? Yada, yada, yada. And it gives her, like, a different and unique perspective, right? Where she suddenly realizes, like, oh, you know, like, I have a family in every version of the multiverse. It just looks different every time, you know, or something in that vein, right?
Yeah.
Where it would just take it in a completely different direction. And that would have been super compelling too, I feel like. But the fact that she just doubled down and was so hung up on that particular thing, which I get it, like, that is an effect of trauma, but it's felt so horrendously untrue to her character. Mm-hmm. And it also felt so untrue to Steven's character.
Yes.
Because by the end of that movie, like at the beginning of the movie, going into it, I'm like, I have a good sense for who these characters are. They've been a part of the story for a long time now. This is what I expect of them. This is what I know about them as characters. By the end of the movie, I'm just like, who are these people? Because they aren't acting like themselves at all. This is not what I would expect, right? Like, Steven does, like, play that line between, you know, doing what's necessary and doing what, you know, is kind of best for him or whatever. And they started playing with that too. And I thought that was super interesting. And then they just kind of walked away from it partway through the movie. And that was frustrating. But Wanda, I keep coming back to thinking about Wanda in Age of Ultron, right? Which is where we get our introduction to her character. And what is the thing that causes her to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Never mind. I'm suddenly done hating the Avengers. I'm going to ally with them. So when she realizes Ultron's plan is to blow up the planet, but suddenly she's okay with murdering a bunch of people just because things have gone badly for her.
Right.
That doesn't track.
No.
Because she'd gone through too much and she'd sacrificed too much. And it didn't seem like a logical jump for her to then suddenly want to just start murdering people without thought. You know, like that's not consistent at all.
Well, it also doesn't make sense to me that she would be looking for other realities in which she has kids, but no Vision to parent them with. Like, that's like, you had kids that were kind of the best of both of you, so you're gonna like kind of pretend he doesn't exist anymore because there's a new version of Vision in the world. Like, I don't,
right?
You're just cutting,
especially because Vision's death is what caused the whole
exactly
Westvale incident in the first place, right?
Exactly.
Like, her grief over Vision's death is what got her to that point. So why did it suddenly gloss over Vision's death and move into her non-existent children that she pretty clearly had come to terms with at the end of WandaVision?
Exactly. Because they weren't real in the first place. It's not like she actually went through the trauma of giving birth to them.
Right.
They were just constructs. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So the few good bits, and then let's just put this thing on the dissection table and let's just tear it apart. I love that we got Xavier back. That made me so happy. I loved the fan service that we got with John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
Right. Yep.
Those both were great. I love the fact that we got not Captain Marvel, good grief. Peggy Carter, Captain Carter, thank you. Good grief, sorry. Just could not get there for a second. I enjoyed that. That's it. That's what I got. Those are the things that I really, truly enjoyed.
So Alan was in it for the cameos.
Gosh. Yeah. Christine's wedding dress was nice. Seemed like a beautiful wedding. I'm glad she's happy in that reality.
Yeah.
I guess I am glad that we have the X-Men back. How they'll show up in the future, I'm a little anxious about now.
Yeah,
right.
Because I was with Kyle, I was kind of hoping that.
Yeah, that we might, would like, get the introduction something. Of Magneto.
That, right. Well, yeah, I thought their introduction would actually mean something apart from, hey, look who's here, everybody.
Yeah, that's all it was, right? It was just a cameo.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just a bland cameo.
Yeah.
Which feels incredibly hollow after Spider-Man, right? Because Spider-Man just did such a beautiful job of reuniting the MCU with all of the Marvel movies that came up to this point, right? And it did such a great job of honoring what had come
before. So I do have a question, though, that has come up in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a design and audio design thing.
Mm-hmm.
The theme that plays when Patrick Stewart rolls on the screen is not any of the cinematic version's theme.
Correct.
Neither is the wheelchair the same that was used in any of the previous movies. It's throwback to the cartoon.
Exactly. And that's
right. They're erasing the history.
That did give me like a big sort of like I felt like I was 10 again.
Yes. And what I'm hopeful for is because there have been like shots of Wolverine, why can't I not ever think of
Hugh
his
Jackman?
Name? Hugh Jackman and Kevin Feige, like, have been seen together recently, and I'm just like, I know you said you were done with Logan, but please, oh please, give me one more.
Maybe they're just
give
two guys
me like
having a good
because
time.
Like, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine for me. Like, he's fantastic. And whoever picks up that mantle next is going to have a very, very high bar. Because Hugh Jackman is just Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And he's a tough act to follow no matter what you do.
No. I feel like that they'd almost have to get a no-name to play Wolverine after him. Because getting another big name, it would just be like, who do you like better?
Yeah, no, you have
and
to.
Not in the same, and not in the same way as comparing all the Spider-Men. It would be like, no, only really, one of you are coming out alive.
No,
it's
you really.
Every time.
Right. I was going to say, you really have to do what, like, outside of the musical theater nerds, no one knew who Hugh Jackman was when he took on that role. Like, you say that, and you're just like, oh, yeah, he's from The Music Man. And they're like, you're what hurts? Like, what's happening? He's. No, that's an insert.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was going to say, insert every negative, stereotypical, bad slur that you can throw at musical theater people. Like, that's what would be said in to the think about the dude bros who would be like, yeah, he's Wolverine. He's like, he's a musical theater trained Broadway performer who can dance and sing, and he's a triple threat, and he's jacked. Ha ha! Nerds win. They'd basically flip you the double birds and be like, screw you, he's Wolverine.
Yeah, I don't. I go tone deaf when they're around now.
I know. That is the proper response. Yeah. But getting Patrick Stewart back to reprise that role did bring me lots of joy.
Yeah, no, like I do remember grabbing your arm and being so excited for that moment. But then what resulted after that then made me anxious about what they would if Sam Raimi touches another MCU property ever again.
Yeah, he really needs to be done.
Yeah. Because I also wasn't really enjoying Bruce Campbell's cameo either. I was just like, why? I get it. You're friends. I don't really care. I
hated Bruce Campbell's cameo. That was so stupid.
It really was. Because it's not like Steven at all to abuse his powers to abuse even an annoying person.
And like, I like Bruce Campbell. Like, I love what he did for B-Horror. Like, I love Bruce Campbell. But the, you stayed for, it was just like, you need to shut up and you need to get off the screen.
You wasted our time.
Like,
this is not the Bruce Campbell show.
Absolutely go take your cart and go roll off a cliff somewhere. Like, I don't want you anywhere near this. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I'm going to make a controversial statement because I know that there are things of all of the Spider-Man movies. I will tip the hat to Tobey Maguire. The Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies are my least favorite.
Yeah,
I hate them. They are not fun. Like, I did not enjoy... Like, the first one was fun because it was, ooh, this is Spider-Man. Everything that came after, I hated. I was a stan for Andrew Garfield and the Amazing Spider-Man run. Like, we've had this fight before. I was a stan for that because it got the feel right. And then if you don't love Tom Holland as Spider-Man, you can just get the F right off this podcast. Like, I will not hear anything.
I would say hating Tom Holland is like kicking a golden retriever puppy. I just can't.
Like, right.
Yeah, if you do that, you need to go take a look at your humanity in the mirror and figure out what's wrong with you.
You hate the original Billy Elliot? How could you? Another musical theater actor turned Marvel hero.
Yep.
We get him. We train him.
Sam Raimi needs to stay away from the MCU. Like, I am very much done with the, we're going to take your expectations and we're going to do something different. No, you're going to do something that's absolutely inherently more shitty.
Yeah, I was going to say, stop. You're going to do what you've always done and you're going to try to turn it into a campy film, like a campy, stupid horror comedy.
And that's not what this is for. We're here for. And especially after the way that we got the nods, like you were saying, Kyle, to the history of Spider-Man. And we got how that was very classily wrapped up. And the Stephen Strange that we saw there is light years difference. Like, about the only way that you can redeem this is in the next Doctor Strange. You basically see the end of the other movie in some sort of vision, and then it snaps back and you realize it's an alternate universe. Like, that's the only like loophole that you can ride around to get rid of it.
I don't know. I am still in it for Loki coming around and zapping him.
I am here for Loki. I'm not going to lie. I was Loki definitely looking for crocodiles the entire
You've
movie.
You've been looking for crocodiles in everything we've watched since Loki.
Correct.
Even when we were watching Moon Knight, he's like, is that a crocodile? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's an Egyptian god. Calm down.
I mean, to be fair, the boundaries can get a little muddy in Egyptian mythology. So
that's a fair point. A fair point.
But so, yeah,
I agree. At the end of the day, like, this somehow they need to undo this movie, and I really hope it doesn't land in the same way that Ragnarok does, because I can accept people loving Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. If people love Multiverse, I'm going to be really sad, because it's going to spell the MCU being okay with moving in a direction that I'm never going to be okay with.
Yeah. Like, I would even be okay if the MCU move to, okay, we're doing limited run series or shows now because we're just dealing with some themes that require more time than a 90-minute to 160-minute movie can really offer us. Fine.
Right.
That's fine. I can deal with that.
Like, Moon Knight is a perfect example of that. We got 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, I don't think they're going to do any more. And obviously, we only got one small snippet of Moon Knight.
But it felt like a comic book run. Like, this is all the story that these specific writers had to tell about this character. But, like, it's
and
contained.
Oscar Isaac acted the out of that role and was just incredible. We'll talk about that on a different episode.
Yeah,
but
yeah. But like, same with WandaVision. There's really no going past that. They've now tried to in movies, and it was, as we've discussed, awful. But like, WandaVision in itself, it is one run that tells one story, and okay, good, little bite-sized numb. But
right.
But now trying to deal with some of these themes in film, I mean, apart from Spider-Man, which is now complete, I don't see them doing that particularly well. The one show that is coming up that I'm really anxious about, She-Hulk, looks real bad. Not gonna lie. Looks real bad. I am not looking forward to it. Will I watch it? Yes, it is my duty to. But
yeah.
I'm so, so bracing myself for that to be terrible.
Right. Well, and that's the unfortunate thing, right? Is we might be officially hitting that point that I think many of us have feared for a really long time,
yeah.
Which was the day that the MCU got too big for itself. And I am afraid to say that we're here, but it feels like we're here. And I think we're seeing, like, I want to be careful about this because I don't want to bash on the idea of this, but the fact that we're getting an Echo show feels like a sign of that because great character. Don't get me wrong. And I think she would be, it'll be a phenomenal series for representation in television and in the MCU and things like that. Those are really important things. My problem is if we're just going to spiderweb out of control with all of the characters that start appearing in all of these things, the MCU is already getting too big. And the more you spread it out, the more it's going to lose cohesion. And it's just going to not, like, then you're going to have too many hands in the pot, and you're gonna start having more and more cases where you have Doctor Strange movies where it's completely falling apart. They're not following the thread of the characters as they've been done in other shows. They're enlisting people who are not doing the same level of quality in writing, and they're not doing the same level of quality in acting or casting or, you know, whatever, directing, whatever it might be. And that's where we're going to start to see the backslide, and then, you know, it's living to see the thing that you love die, you know, and start to be horrible instead of just being able to appreciate it for what it was. And that's where I think, again, so many of us, at least in circles that I've had conversations with, knew that this day would come eventually, that, you know, they either needed to stop while they were ahead or this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the case. Like, I hope that we're not there, and I'm hoping they can kind of reclaim this and streamline it a little bit and get it back into a good place, but don't know.
Yeah.
That's putting a lot of faith in humanity that I don't know I have on a broad scale basis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a bummer that this is how it turned out. And like, it's very rare that I ever feel confident that I could write a better script than any professional that's been in the industry for a long time. But I do look at this and I go, I feel like you were trying to do way too much. And you lost the plot as to like what this was all about.
Right.
Could have been smaller scale. Just take some simple concepts, simple human concepts. This is all we care about. And then demonstrate that superheroes have problems too. And they got to work through them just like anybody else. They might be all powerful.
Yeah.
But man, their emotions, they have a limit.
Which is exactly what every other show and series has done after Endgame.
Right.
And I think that's why this one was so disappointing, because all of the other ones have done it so well. Moon Knight may be the exception because I haven't actually watched that one yet, but I will be soon. So I can't speak for that one. But I mean, WandaVision was all about Wanda dealing with the consequences of losing Vision, right? Falcon and the Winter Soldier was all about Sam and Bucky wrestling with the death of Cap, figuring out who is going to take over the mantle, what the world meant in light of Captain America being gone.
Yeah.
And then dealing with very real world issues of like, what does it mean to be, you know, sort of proud to be an American in the context of actually facing our history and the horrible
right.
things that we've done as a nation and our horrible racist roots and things like that. And so that was really incredible. And then Hawkeye dealt with the same thing, right? Where Hawkeye is just like, I just want to go spend Christmas with my family. But then I've gotten wrapped up in this thing with this girl. And she was just trying to do it. Like, she just thought Hawkeye was cool. So she was trying to imitate him, right? And then got in over her head unintentionally and got swept up into this whole conspiracy. And it ended up being really cool because then Hawkeye had to deal with the fact that, like, and then have Yelena pop up, right? Mm-hmm. And he really has to deal with, now I have to deal with losing Natasha and what that means for me
right.
and how I feel in light of that and the consequences of my actions in who I became when I lost my whole family, right? And like all of those things explored such incredibly good dimensions of these characters, and they brought whole new levels to the character work that had been done for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, whatever it's been. And then this movie.
Yeah.
And it just...
It's like, how did we lose all that?
Why? Yeah. Like, all that traction was just gone.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, and then, okay, so just to transition a little bit, to then introduce, make this the introduction of America Chavez. Like,
mm-hmm.
what a waste. What a waste
right.
of a great character. To, like, try to shoehorn her into this other story.
Right.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Like, they really cheated people of a great character who has a buck wild backstory.
And the setup is right there, right? Like, Strange casts the spell.
Yeah.
The whole Spider-Man thing happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes the entry point where, because of the kind of opening of the multiverse, America, it's easier for her to accidentally stumble into Earth 616, right?
Right.
And then she's there and she's like, I lost my family. I don't know how to get back. I don't know why I'm here. I don't understand what's happening to me,
right?
Like, she could have been a really compelling character, and they did some really interesting stuff with her character.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, it didn't.
Instead, they made it about, like, her not knowing she had powers and then getting scared by a bee, and suddenly she has, like, dimension
right.
hopping powers. Like, that
right.
doesn't track at all.
Right. Yeah, that was a pretty meh introduction to a superhero. Like, that's a bad origin story, guys. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And not remotely tracking with the comic book. Like, they gave her moms. Yeah, they gave some hint as to where they were. And that tracks, but like the way all that goes down does not track at all.
Right.
So stupid.
Yeah.
So already,
yeah.
We've written a better script for two separate movies if we really wanted them. Because it would have been interesting, too,
right?
to, like, have her, instead of being in the second, like, Doctor Strange film, to have her in, like, a third one. To be like, whoa, wait. We thought we had all this wrapped up. We had dealt with our trauma. I fought myself emotionally and physically.
Right.
And then suddenly we're dimension hopping.
Yeah.
And then I'm facing all the other versions of me.
Dimension hopping and not on my terms anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and it was a weird, cheap way to reintroduce Mordo, too, because
yeah.
he played the same role that he should have in the Earth 616 storyline, right? Where he's fighting Steven.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different universe version of him, and that doesn't... Like, at first, I thought it was going to be kind of funny with the whole awkward tension of, like, oh, crap, you're here, and you're evil, and now I'm going to have to fight you, right? And
mm-hmm.
then he's like, no, we're buddies, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And then, no, just kidding, we're actually not. Like, that was dumb. I hated all of that. Like, I would have rather
yeah.
just stayed in Earth 616, and then Mordo shows up
mm-hmm.
and complicates the whole thing, right? Like, Strange is already trying to fight himself and trying to deal with it, like, that internal struggle, and then Mordo shows up and makes it worse
right.
because now he has to fight someone else who isn't him and is not, like, understanding the process that he's going through and the things that he's trying to juggle with, to where Mordo becomes a like a double foil for the alternate universe Strange, right? Mm-hmm. Where now he's getting attacked on two fronts. One is his like own self-doubt and his own self-loathing and frustration and dealing with that, but then also being attacked by someone who was a good friend once upon a time. Like, that would have been super interesting, right? Where he's trying to deal with that. And then Mordo would have been a perfect entry point for him to realize, no, I made the only choice that I could. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's okay for me to defeat this other version of myself, because at the end of the day, yes, it was horrible, but I had to make a choice. And it was either this or we lost and everybody died.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I hate it. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay in the aftermath of it. But this was the one choice that was left to me. I looked at every possibility I could. And given the circumstances, this was the only way out that I saw for anything good to come out of it. Otherwise, everybody was gone. The snap happened and everybody died. And there was no way around it.
Yeah.
Well, then, it could have been so good.
It really could have been.
Yeah.
And why is America now just like a sorcerer orphan? Like, what? They're not going to like, what? You're going to teach her your version of magic now instead of maybe exploring a little further why suddenly she can punch stars into dimension?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
She's just gonna settle for that. Like, she's cool just living there now. No questions, just happy to make sparkle circles. Like, that's it?
Right.
I feel like the America that we've been able to get to know through comic books would have been like, this is nonsense. You're going to take me home now.
Okay. Let's just address a couple of big gaping holes in this script. So, obviously, I said we would come back to this. I have heard, and it's the same thing that I landed on, that, like, let's try to, if you were to try to say a common theory that this was not Wanda doing these things, this was the Scarlet Witch, and that was represented by Xavier going into Wanda's mind palace and finding it to be stark white reality, her hiding out in the rubble of her home, like trapped in her own mind.
Right.
Okay. Like, I can buy that. Like, up until the resolution of the film, that is an argument that could be made. Fair. But the second you introduce, why does the Scarlet Witch care about the kids? That entire house of cards crumples in on itself. Because right. If it's the Scarlet Witch and not Wanda, the Scarlet Witch does not care. Like, has no reason to care about those children at all.
Right. As soon as America tries to use the, see, you're scaring them, you're not their mom to them, like, that wouldn't have mattered to the Darkhold at all. Like, that would have been like, yeah, that's why I'm here. I used her emotions against her, and now I win. Yay me! But, like, so if Wanda was truly buried in her own psyche, there would have been no, like, her clawing back and being like, whoa, this isn't what I wanted at all.
Right. Well, and not to mention, if it's really the Darkhold in charge and it's just the Scarlet Witch, why was she doing any of those things?
Right.
If she really wouldn't have cared about the kids, she wouldn't have even been pursuing that.
No.
Right? Like, so that doesn't make any sense.
No.
And we're talking about, again, we're talking about Wanda, who single-handedly fought off Thanos with 4 out of 5 Infinity Stones. And yet, while also trying to destroy an Infinity Stone inside of her husband or would-be
mm-hmm.
husband,
mm-hmm.
all at the same time, she's doing it all by herself while every one of her allies has gone down in this fight. And she's the one who's too weak to deal with an ancient magical spellbook?
Yeah.
Who can't overcome that?
Right. Yep. Exactly. Like, she's gone through enough to where she would have, even out of, like, curiosity, would have armed her mind in some way to be like, okay, I get that this is a book that has manipulated people in the past. I'll set up some protections. I've learned a lot from Agatha and my dealing with her. I know to not go invulnerable.
Right.
They laid good groundwork for that.
Yeah.
And then decided to just character assassinate Wanda.
Yeah, because I thought like her pursuing the Darkhold when we like see her at the end of WandaVision would be like, okay, this is a dark portent, but it's more of like we get chaos magic Wanda or Scarlet Witch. This is going to be a lot of her like exploring stuff now that she knows that there's more to it than just sort of like doing things she wants to. There's actually kind of a science behind it. And so she's going to like explore the history and the sort of strategy to all this and the fact that there are runes and things that you can write. Like, I figured she'd just be exploring a lot of that and doing a lot of chaos sort of trial and error stuff, not like a specific goal in mind.
Right. Well, and it felt very much, and that's why I liked the beginning of the movie, because it felt like it was starting to lean in that direction, right? Where it's like, okay, she started to dig into the Darkhold, and maybe she's taking it just a little bit too far right off the bat. Like, she hasn't quite hit that point where she stops and goes, wait, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. She just proved to not be herself, right? She wasn't the strong character that she was prior to this film, where the Wanda that we've known would have hit the point and realized, oh, like that's what I expected to happen when she attacked Kamar-Taj, was she goes to attack Kamar-Taj and she starts the fight and then she goes, wait, oh, what am I doing? Yeah. What have I done? Right. And all of a sudden she just falls apart and she realizes, I let this take too much of me. Mm-hmm. But by then it's too late and the Darkhold has latched onto some other power. Right. And then suddenly she and Steven are fighting together to deal with, you know, alternate universe Steven or whatever it might be. Yeah. I don't care. Any better villain than Wanda herself.
Yeah.
Honestly, would have been great.
Yeah.
And I felt like that would have made sense. That's what I was expecting partway through the movie was, or at the beginning of the movie was, she's going to go down this road. She's going to realize what's happening to her and she's going to back way off, reverse course, because that's who Wanda is. She's already been down that road. She's already done exactly that. And that would have been perfect and super compelling because that's exactly what happened with Ultron. And that's exactly where she realized it, right? The moment it came down to people really actually getting hurt, she stopped. And it made her take pause and she changed course. And I think that's where the Darkhold would have had enough of a hold on her to get her to that point again because she'd already been there. Mm-hmm. But then she would have recognized, I know this place. Mm-hmm. I've been in this place. Ultron brought me to this place.
Yeah.
And this is why I became who I was. And that's a great way for her to resolve her trauma too, right? Because then she realizes, I've already made this choice. Mm-hmm. I already chose to side with the Avengers. I already chose to stop the homicidal maniacs.
Yeah.
And that's why I killed Vision in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's why I chose to sacrifice Vision so that we could stop Thanos, whether it worked or not.
Yeah.
And that would have made sense. Sam Raimi, that would have made sense.
Yeah, not the additional hour of, I enjoyed the horror elements. Like, I didn't like
visually.
Visually, yes. Stunning. I agree. The unnecessarily brutal murder of alternate universe heroes. Like, it.
Oh, yeah.
That
no.
was, it could have done without that. But yeah, we could have gotten to some sort of resolution that wasn't, your kids don't love you, you're scaring them, and that's what causes her to snap out and go, right, oh, I need to pull this whole fortress down on myself and then chaos magic myself away.
Yeah.
Like, I will say, I actually, like, I didn't really like the way it worked plot-wise for Zombie Strange to come around, but visually, like, Zombie Strange with all the, like, zombie arms, like, was, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like, that was sick. Though, and if they could have done that in a different way.
Yeah. I have to say, Zombie Strange had, like, twice the personality of Dark Strange.
Truly.
Like, I could have done with a whole side plot of Zombie Strange, like, wandering the streets of New
Which
York.
Is what it should have been, yeah. Right? Like, that would have been hilarious, and it would have been the perfect nod to Marvel Zombies, because we can be like,
right,
we can have this exist and not take it seriously, but still have it be just a perfect, hilarious side plot to this film.
Because as soon as
and
they
then
buried
he, like,
him
shows
there,
up at the end and is actually helpful and cool or something, right?
Well, like, and, like, as soon as they buried him there, I was like, he's gonna come up again. That's stupid. Steven, what are you doing? Come on. You know better than this, bud.
Right.
Yeah. That's like
the biggest gripe that I have. Well, like, they had bones and they did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also don't know why they brought Christine back in, like, as a plot point, a major plot point. Like, that was really boring to me. It was like, you're going to drag her back into all of this only to be like, yeah, I loved you in every universe. Smell you later. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right?
Because especially when they hint strongly that she would have gone with him. She would have left with him anywhere, really. She didn't, like, give any indication that she was, like, super tied to her own universe at all.
Right.
And, like, the weak nod of, okay, Steven's learning, like, he's learning his lessons.
Learning what? What lesson? What did he learn?
Yeah, like...
And that was the point of the first movie.
Yeah.
He already had that journey.
Yeah.
We've already done this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where he realized, oh, I'm hurting Christine, and now I should realize that I'm stupid for it, right?
Yeah.
And then he went off and dealt with this cosmic threat. And sure, we could have had some level of him, like, regretting what things could have been like. Like, it could have seemed like a little bit of a subplot with Christine in terms of, like, that would have been one of the alternatives that he would be considering, right?
It's
like, this is something else I could have had. And that would have been really great, too.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it would have been like one more temptation along the road, right? Like, I could have grasped ultimate power, and that would have been enough to stop Thanos. I could have walked away from it all, and I could have been with Christine, and that would have been, you know, great happiness for me in my life. And, like, exploring all of these different options for him personally and the mm-hmm. things that could have happened, but ultimately coming back to, like I was saying before, I had one choice, and I had to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did, right?
Right. Well, and that, again, that would have been so much more interesting to explore, because people, I think, can relate to, I'm certain that this was the only choice that could have been made, but even in knowing and rehashing it, to, like, vet my own memory, there's always that sliver of doubt that creeps in that, like, or was it? Like, did I miss something?
Yeah,
right.
Like, anyone in any sort of executive position,
what could my life have been like otherwise?
Yeah, has that thought experiment for themselves. So it's not like it's an unrelatable scenario.
Right.
What is unrelatable is having weird possessed Wanda track you down a tunnel.
Right.
And, like, only being able to open the door with your freaking watch. That's the stupidest thing.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that part too. That was dumb.
It's like, really? That the only thing containing and locking this place down is your freaking watch. That stupid watch.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's... To spend any more time on this is just going to exhaust me, because it just wasn't a good movie. Like, I don't know if you guys have any other closing thoughts. I know we're closing in on time. But... Like, Mampersands, if you have an argument for why you like this,
keep it to yourself.
Or give us something to argue about arbitrarily.
I'll fight you.
I think we all will. I'm sorry. You're allowed to like this movie, but
no, you're not.
Prepared. If you try to argue about it, we're going to eviscerate you. You know, ideologically.
MinMexPod at gmail.com. MinMexPod and all the socials except Reddit were /u/MinMexPodcast. 773-789-9369 is a voicemail number for voicemails 3 minutes or less. Anything longer than that, you can send an audio file over to the email address. I'm at Alan H. Mowers on Twitter. Ashley's at DEEDEE_K. Kyle's at Stainbrook Kyle. You can tweet us your rants there. You can come at us on this, because we will fight you.
100%.
Love you, Mappersands. We'll see you guys next week.
But do you love them in every universe?